like it.
Alex, I picture you very much in a James Bond way, just walking across the screen, holding a squirt gun for some reason, not a regular gun, but a squirt gun, mm-hmm. and just turning toward the camera during the bop, bop, bop part.
I see him kind of rolling over the hood of a car.
Oh, yeah,
Starsky
I could see that.
Hutch style.
I could see that.
Kool-Aid, shaken, not stirred.
Delicious. Alexander Zelvin joins us right now. Alexander, of course, the managing editor of Decider.com. We talked to him on Fridays to find out what's going on in the world of television. Let's rewind a couple of days to the Emmy Awards. I'm curious, Alex, mm-hmm. you tell me. I knew that most of the categories were dominated by the non-networks, by not mm-hmm. CBS, by not ABC, by not NBC, but it's really jarring when you see it wall-to-wall-to-wall where they have almost no representation in television's best. Are they worried about this or not?
I don't know how much they're worried just because, frankly, nobody watched the Emmys. No. In terms of, you know, nobody tuned in for it. It was the lowest rated Emmys ever. And part of that could be pointed to, you don't have these network shows, even as their viewership has eroded. They're still usually the biggest game in town. But you're not going to see like an NCIS or anything like that necessarily nominated for a ton of Emmys and come out. And that's the thing that potentially people would watch and they tune in for. You have amazing shows. As they said at the beginning of the Emmys, TV has never been better, and that's absolutely true. But there's also never been more TV, and so you have more better TV, but less people watching each individual show. So it's very fractured that way. So in terms of the networks, I don't think they're necessarily scared because the Emmys mean a lot less than they did before.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the same time, it's a good thing for the streaming services. You look at something like Prime Video that very much has struggled with its identity as a network, as a streaming service, and it killed it at the Emmys through Fleabag and everything else that they won for, all the Phoebe Waller-Bridge stuff. That was a huge night for them, and that basically was able them being able to say, hey, we're here, and we have award-winning shows just like everybody else.
All right, on that topic, there were several, and this happens every year during the Emmys, there's a couple of shows that are mentioned, and sometimes they get multiple nominations for shows, and I turn to my wife and I say, I've never even heard of that. I don't know who that is. I don't know what that is. Give us one or two that were mentioned during the Emmys that might have been nominated or won that really people should go back and find and watch. Well, give us an example or two.
Well, Fleabag is definitely one of those, which I think basically nobody really watched, or at least more people watched and were talking about in the second season. But it is a absolutely fantastic show. It's a quick, short binge. And Phoebe Waller-Bridge, off of that, got a huge deal with Amazon. I believe it's $20 million a year to develop shows with them. So that's something you should definitely check out. Another one that I'll mention, nobody really watches stuff on FX. It's not a very watched network, but yeah. They always do good quality work. Billy Porter won for Pose there, which was pretty groundbreaking. I'm forgetting the exact stat, but I believe he's the first out gay actor to win the lead actor award. That show is stunning as well. It's a great drama. It's well filmed. Billy Porter is amazing in it. So that's one you should definitely check out. And then there's The Act, which was actually a big hit for Hulu, starring Patricia Arquette and Joey King. But I think unless you knew about it, it's a true crime drama. It's very salacious. The story is over the top, and I won't spoil any of it here. But Patricia Arquette, of course, fantastic. Joey King, fantastic. So that's one you can check out on Hulu as well.
That's called The Act. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. I'll find. Yeah, that's one of the ones I'm referring to that as they're mentioning the nominees, we look at each other, my wife and I, and we just go, where did that come from? Never heard of that. They love the people in it, but never heard of it.
Yeah. I'll tell you, one of the other problems, and this sounds ridiculous when I say it out loud, but it's the amount of words. There's so many shows coming out, they're kind of running out of words for titles,
yeah.
And they all sound the same.
Right.
So if you don't know what the act is, you'd be like, oh, it's about actors, but that's not actually what it's about at all.
Right. So what do they do when the viewership is that low? There was a time where the Emmys and the Oscars really mm-hmm. meant something, and for some reason that's slipping away. Is there a way to fix that, or do you just give in to the fact that times have changed?
I think that's part of it. I think they need to find a new way to broadcast it. You know, if they want to put Band-Aid on the wound, instead of broadcasting it on one network, put it on every network. Say, hey, this is the Emmy show. This is the most important thing on TV right now. We're going to broadcast it everywhere. Another suggestion that I've seen a lot is just put it online, just put it on YouTube, you know, because more people are going to stream it that way. But I don't think they're going to get the ad revenue and be able to support the show in the same way that way. But ultimately, the way that people are consuming the show is they've gotten smarter to the fact that it's 3+ hours long. Not a lot happens. Most of it is boring. Like you were saying, most of the shows nobody's people watched before. Right. And if you really want to see the best moments, you can just check it out on Twitter. And that's where you're going to get the funniest jokes. That's where you're going to get the best bit.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a really great kind of enticing pitch for the advertiser. It's going to be boring. It's going to be long and boring.
We know.
So I wanted to ask you, too, is, you know, sort of to make a correlation to the craft beer world, right? So you get all these craft breweries and then the big brewers buy up the craft brewers. Is it the kind of thing, or maybe are these independent networks as big as they are, things like Amazon, you know, Netflix, are they big enough to maybe where they can't be absorbed by the networks? Or is there some thought that maybe some of those major networks just might buy them and have them as property, you know, like Google buys things and just kind of combine forces?
Tricky because you have bigger companies owning these networks. Like you have NBC, isn't just NBC, it's NBC Universal, and that's much part of a much bigger company. CBS is now part of CBS Viacom. They also own a stake in the CW. Fox, of course, is part of the Fox Corporation, even though that's bifurcated, part of it going over to Disney. So that makes it tricky. If anything, a real huge paradigm shift would be one of these streamers actually buying a broadcast network.
Wow.
That would be something that would be game-changing in a very big way, because ultimately, broadcast right now is for a much older audience. Streaming is usually for a younger audience. Netflix bridges the gap, I would say, because everybody has Netflix on everything. But you could see Prime Video is owned by Amazon. They have billions of dollars. If they suddenly decided, you know what, we want the CW, we're going to buy it from CBS and Warner Brothers, we're going to take it off of your hands and turn it into our network, that would really change things in a big way.
Alex, let's take a look at some of the shows coming on this week. It's the last season for The Good Place, one of the best comedies on TV. It starts tonight, right? The new season starts tonight?
It actually was on last night on NBC.
Oh, it was.
It's going to be every Thursday for the next couple of weeks, and then I believe, as annoyingly, but it's going to take a short break before it finishes up the season like it did last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen the first couple of episodes. It's as hilarious as always. It's as smartly written and acted. They did a nice thing in last night's episode where you absolutely should go back and rewatch or watch the entire show. But if you never did, they reintroduce you to the situation, reintroduce you to the characters, and it's very new viewer friendly. So if you've heard things about the show and are curious to check it out, again, probably start from the beginning, but last night's episode is a good way of jumping right in.
CBS has a Supernatural show on called Evil. That's just premiering this week. What do you know about Evil?
That the TV also show Evil last night at 10 p.m. What do I know about Evil?
Well, in general, you know.
Not in general, but the TV show Evil. I'm sorry.
I love this show, actually. I'm not a big procedural guy, but this is a supernatural procedural from the Kings who created The Good Wife and The Good Fight. And it stars Mike Coulter from Luke Cage, Katya Herbers, who was on Westworld, and Asaf Manvi, who was on The Daily Show for a while. Mike Coulter is a priest in training who is investigating things that maybe could be exorcisms or maybe could be miracles, and he recruits two skeptics to go along with him. So it's a very X-Files setup. But it's very smartly written. It's smartly acted. Again, I've seen the first couple of episodes of it, and it only gets better every week. But it's also one of the creepiest shows I've ever seen.
Oh,
and
nice.
There are moments in the fourth episode in particular that, just to prep you guys for a month down the road, gave me nightmares after I saw it. So if you're looking for a show like that, it's a good, fun, scary time.
You had me at It Gets Better Every Week. I love shows that build that way. That's very encouraging.
Yeah.
Alexander Zelbin's our guest. He's the managing editor over at Decider.com. We'll take a quick break and discuss more television with him. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN. Alexander Zelbin is here from Decider.com. Great website if you love entertainment or television. Alexander, I was watching This Is Us the other day, and I noticed in the press release for This Is Us that they are adding a famous director to the cast of This Is Us. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I don't know about this, actually.
M. Night Shyamalan is going to play a reoccurring role on This Is Us. What do you make of that?
Well, that's a twist.
Yeah.
It's a big twist.
That's what it, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. I mean, he is, let's be honest, not the best actor.
You take that back. You don't think he's the greatest actor?
Sorry. He's the best actor.
All right, thank you.
It's appropriate for the show, right? They just had a really huge twist right at the beginning of the season, as they often want to do. So bringing him in is very on the nose, but it makes a lot of sense for the show.
I'm anxious to see what they have him do. He wasn't in that first episode, but I have to think it's coming up pretty quick, so I'm anxious.
Yeah.
The Politician, this is a new Ryan Murphy series on Netflix. Tell us what we need to know.
Yeah, every episode of it is on Netflix as of today. This is actually producer Ryan Murphy's first Netflix show, part of a huge overall deal that he has with the streaming service. So there's certainly a lot of eyes on it. It stars Ben Platt, who is probably best known from Dear Evan Hansen on Broadway, though he's done a couple of other projects since. He was also in the Pitch Perfect films, so you might know him from there. He plays the perfect political candidate. He dreams of being president someday, and every season of the show is going to follow him during an election as he moves on his way to working towards become president. This one is set in high school. So if you saw the movie Election, it's very like that. It's very satirical. Ben Platt does sing several times in it. Gwyneth Paltrow plays his mom. There's a lot of other, oh yeah, I know that person throughout the show. I didn't love it. A lot of critics didn't love it, but it's gorgeously filmed. The performances are excellent throughout. And if nothing, even though I was kind of iffy about the whole season, the last episode made me very excited to see season two. There's a couple of cameos I won't spoil there. Check it out if you're interested, particularly if you're interested in a political satire right now.
It's one thing to go into politics as a vocation or as a public servant. Do they try to, through the episodes, kind of weave in, you know, kind of current events or, you know, things that are happening or that people are dealing with on the political side into some of the episodes, whether it's like the...
It is very removed from reality. If anything, if you watch Glee, which was one of Ryan Murphy's first shows, it's very close to that, where it's on the nose, it's blunt in terms of its satire. It's not necessarily tied into anything that's going on right now, even as it mentions issues. It's more equal opportunity in terms of making fun of everybody, from people who are super woke to people who are super rich to everything in between.
Sounds good. It sounds good. I know you gave it a mixed review, but I'm interested. Ryan Murphy has quickly become one of the most important people in television, hasn't he, Alexander?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of super producers out there. Ryan Murphy is one of them. Greg Berlanti is another. Shonda Rhimes is another. And services like Warner Brothers and Netflix have been snapping them up. And Ryan Murphy, in particular, what he's figured out very well is collaborators to work with. Jessica Lange is in The Politician. She has worked with him time and time
American
again
Horror
on various
Story.
Shows.
Yeah.
And she is fantastic, works well with him, and he's going to continue to bring people like that to Netflix, which is good for everybody.
It's the end of the road for Transparent. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
50-50, I would say. So there was a bit of a flap, which you might remember, with Jeffrey Tambor.
Yep.
He was accused of harassing people on several sets, including Arrested Development, as well as Transparent. They made the decision to leave him out of the fifth and final season, and you can probably put the word season in quotes, because it's essentially an extended movie-length episode that partially is musical, and it deals with the death of his character, Maura, who was one of the first transgender characters on TV. So our reviewer, Claire Spellberg, who saw it, liked the show at first, was very mixed on the finale, felt like ultimately the time for the show has passed, if anything. But if you are a fan of the show, it's not a big investment. Again, it's only about an hour and a half, and at least you can see how everything with the Pfefferman family wraps up.
I'm always curious as to the decision to make an episode, especially a last episode of a show, a musical episode. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. What are your thoughts?
I'm a huge fan of musical episodes. I'm a total sucker for them. I think I understand the impetus here because Transparent has always been very heightened. It's gone into dream sequences. It's gone into fantasy sequences. So that makes sense. The bad part, again, our reviewer said, is that the music is not very good. So that's the thing that certainly is going to knock down a musical episode in anybody's mind.
So when Making a Murderer does a musical episode, you're going to watch that?
100%. I'm very excited to see
it's going
to
be fun.
The dance, then reveal facts.
Absolutely.
All with Milwaukee accents.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Saturday Night Live is coming back. Now, here's a quick question. It's going to be on tomorrow night. Woody Harrelson's the host, Billie Eilish, the musical guest. Will there be any mention at all of the Shane Gillis episode, or will they do everything they can to put that behind them? What do you think?
I think they've got to, right? During Weekend Update,
I think so.
There has to be some sort of joke about that. You know, certainly it was a very uncomfortable thing for Saturday Night Live to have to deal with, at the very least. But they always take on those things head on. You know, if they're not going to bring on Shane Gillis, which I certainly hope they don't do, they're going to have Michael Che or Colin Jost call it out right on Weekend Update, I would bet.
It's too big to ignore, right? They were in the news. You have to address it, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And particularly with new cast members coming on, I hope they don't put them in an uncomfortable situation. But it's even the sort of thing that you deal with in Woody Harrelson's monologue, where he could say something like, I'm very excited to meet all the new cast members, like Shane Gillis, and then somebody comes out and whispers to him.
Right. I don't remember the names of the two cast members, but the girl who's been added to the show, one of the featured players, I've watched her demo tape. It's online, and she does 12 characters. Impressions of celebrities, and they're some of them are pretty obscure, but some of them are fantastic. She does a really good job with the celebrity impressions. I don't know that much about her other than that, but that was a really good addition.
Yeah, Chloe Fineman is their name. She is very funny. Also, Bowen Yang, who's the other new addition, he was a writer on the show for a while. He is hilarious as well, so I'm very excited to see him on screen.
Good. Two very, very good additions. I have to ask you one more thing, and I don't know, this isn't fair because I don't know if you have any knowledge of this at all, but I just saw Stephen King endorsing a show that's on Netflix. It's a foreign series called Marianne, and it's about witches. Do you know anything about it at all?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to check it out myself, but our reviewers here loved it. They said it's very wicked, it's very arch, it's very funny, it's also very scary at the same time. It's about a horror writer who discovers an evil spirit is plaguing her dreams, and it starts to come into the real world. Everybody I've talked to has a blast watching that series, and it's definitely on my queue to check out sometime soon.
It's called Marianne, and like I said, Stephen King just went on and on about how great and creepy and scary it is. A very quick question. We have a bunch of questions. Let me just get one in. Bill is online, too. Bill, go ahead. It's Alexander Zalbin from Decider.com. What's your question?
My question, I have two questions. One, is there a new season of Ozarks coming, and when? And Narcos in Mexico. How about that one, too?
Thanks for your questions. Both of them are coming back. We don't know when on either of them at this point. Ozark is a big question mark because it was renewed back on October 10th, 2018, and we haven't heard anything about it, and we know that they've already filmed the new season. So I would be surprised if it doesn't come out before the end of this year. As for Narcos, that also is going to be coming back. It's one of the biggest hits for Netflix, so they're going to milk it for as long as they possibly can. Again, not 100% sure when a new season is going to come back, but it definitely has been renewed for a second one.
Bill, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Alexander, always fun to talk to you. Have a great weekend, and we'll check in with you a week from today, okay?
All right, you too. Thanks so much for chatting.
Very good. All right, that's Alexander Zalbin, like I said, from Decider.com. We will take a quick break, and then we'll get you some news. More show ahead. It's Bill and Dana for Wendy on WGN.